Good afternoon, Mr. President. I didn't get to, just a second.
Almost beyond belief that where his lawyer
lawyers are trying to get the president said that we could pay a million, we would pay $1 million. It's ridiculous. I asked him, I said, look, what course does this lead to? I said, how much would it cost to report? He said, $1 million. He said, well, we could get that, but then how would you deliver it? How do you handle it? And then what do you do about clemency, you know?
That's right.
Good God, what, those are the questions you would normally ask.
That's right.
And, you know, but nevertheless, Dean could misinterpret it.
Well, Dean's testimony, Mr. President, by the time he gets to give it, and wherever he finally does give it, is going to be so badly tainted and discredited. Mm-hmm. Joe Alsop this morning, who...
He wrote a good piece, but I understand, according to Bazaar today, that the press is now trying to rehabilitate Dean because they realize he's the major, the liberal press, their only witness, and so they're making him out as a sort of a hero. Do you get
he has
that?
No public credibility. You see, he's a turncoat, and...
But damn it, that's got to be done now.
Well, that's, it'll be done. I'm going to help do that because you know, first of all, people don't like someone who is a turncoat. Secondly, any contact he had with you came at the very tail end of this thing. Certainly not during...
February 27th is the first time I ever saw him, and we didn't talk about this. February 28th, we didn't talk about it. March 1st, we didn't talk about it. March 2nd, we didn't talk about it. It was all about the press conference.
That's right.
And March 6th, we didn't talk about it. March 7th, we didn't talk about it.
That's right.
You know, not till about March 13th did he ever raise the subject of him, who might be involved, and then he said nobody in the White House is involved, you see.
Well, not only that, but I made the point yesterday with on the show that here he... It turned out that he had had prior knowledge. Now, I used the phrase that I thought that you had actually, by your persistent determination to get the truth and get the facts, you had actually caused the case to break open.
How did you pointed out to me the other day, how did you do that?
Well, because the night you talked to me on March 21st, you said, get the evidence. Shapiro went out, my partner, and did a hell of a lot of investigating. He talked to reporters, talked to the prosecutors, talked to Howard Hunt. We brought all of that information in at your specific request on April 13th, and I made the point that we laid all of this...
You brought it in on April 13th?
Yes, sir. I made the point that we laid all of this out, and along with our recommendations that the people involved be exposed. Now, I said it's no small coincidence. That was done at the behest of the president, and I said it is no small coincidence that the very next day, April 14th, two of the principals who had been involved went to the U.S. Attorney's Office to seek immunity. Well, they did that, obviously, because they knew that the president now had the facts and was about to expose them. So they went down to seek immunity on their own, which is a,
right.
which is a process that they're entitled to do. But
right.
but nonetheless, it was the president's persistence at wanting to get the truth and wanting to get at the facts that ultimately broke open the Watergate. And instead of being now... tried by third-hand innuendo by people who want to get the president. And
you kept hitting that, didn't you?
Yeah. I said that the president should be given credit for what he did.
And it was the hardest thing is for any administration to prosecute itself. What we're doing with believe me, we're going too far. But good God, I mean, these nice little people that work around here, good heavens, just doing their job, and so they get caught up in this web. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I tell you, I've had a hell of a reaction today.
Tell me about your reaction. Give me that.
Well, people...
And last night.
From the West Coast, and John Spafford from Texas, he said his phone had been going off the hook, and they were all saying, God bless you, and finally somebody stood up for the president, and maybe this will turn the tide, and now maybe somebody else...
I wish you could get this down to some of the clowns in the Senate, or...
Well, I talked to Friedsdorf, and I asked Max to get the transcript and deliver it up there this afternoon for the colloquy that will take place on the...
Impeachment,
correct.
Yeah, yeah.
But because I said there's stuff in there that any guy like Devine or anyone else who wants to get out and fight can use.
But some of the people, our people, have got to get up and fight. An indication of the double standard is that after all of the crap they did about wiretaps, we broke this sensational story showing the actual count.
Sure.
Bobby Kennedy was the greatest wiretapper, twice as much as Eisenhower and twice as much as Nixon.
Exactly right.
Wasn't even in the Times or Post. They didn't even print it.
No. Well, the other indication is that you look at the Baltimore Sun, they at least carried my story. They didn't put it on page one, but they carried it at least and gave it a fairly decent play. Neither the Post nor Times carried it. And
well, they're out to get us.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I've talked to the Times. I've been playing one of their guys and getting information from him and trading. Swapping things a little bit here and there to help. And he's going to give us. I told Smith, and lead it that, yeah, that here's someone who was in direct...
The point that needs to be made, Al is pretty clever, and Al thinks that it's not correct to take Dean on frontally right yet.
Oh, I agree.
You agree?
Oh, boy, and
yeah.
Oh, I would.
Because Dean, you know, when he gets right up to the wire and has to testify under oath, he is going to have a different problem than his lawyers have.
That's right.
What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Because let's suppose he testifies under oath and either gets perjury or gets convicted because of something else. There's only one man that can save him.
That's right.
Correct?
Yep. He's got a hell of a different problem. He also has the problem, I think, of realizing that he ruins his whole life if he tries to
become a total turncoat.
Yeah. I mean, you just can't do that.
But his lawyers want him to. You see, Charlie Schaefer is a McGovern Democrat.
Sure. He's got people that are playing this to the fairly well, and he's... I don't know. John is not a... The difficulty with John Dean is he's not a strong guy. He was led around, and he didn't use very good judgment sometimes.
Right. Now, on this thing, as you know, let's face it, we didn't want the thing to break, and we were hopeful. We weren't trying to cover up anything, and Dean felt he was doing what everybody wanted to do. He really did.
Well, I was asked by Smith, I said, he said, you used the phrase, the president was ill-served, and I said, yes, and he said, by whom? And I said, well, I'm not going to point an accusing finger at anyone. I think everyone has the right to have their day in court, and I'm not going to try to lay any responsibility anywhere. I think that's the correct posture. But I said, one thing I can testify to, and that is what the president knew and what the president told me to try to find out. And then I told the story of ordering the FBI. Howard afterwards said it was very convincing. And the calls that I got last night from people...
What'd they say? You're talking about your calls?
No, they were just, you know, there was real excitement. And
sort of little people, huh?
Yeah. Well, people that we used to hear from in the White House a lot.
Yeah.
But Irv Kupcinet in Chicago has called and said...
What did he say?
They left a message here that it was the best performance he'd ever seen, and he would like me to fly out to Chicago and do his show. And
yeah.
CBS has asked me to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
I do CBS.
Well, I think I might. I'm going to space...
Absolutely. Do CBS. You can go out there and crack that one, too.
Well, I'm going to space them out a bit. I'm going to let the Times play Sunday, and then maybe I will go to Chicago and do the Cup show.
The Cup show is good, but CBS is better.
Sure.
I hate them, but do it.
Well, I'm going to take the maximum audiences I can take. They don't want to hear this, of course. That's the thing that...
it's like our story on wiretaps. They don't want to hear that. They wouldn't
print it. I will say they did give Hugh Scott a pretty good play last night.
On the networks?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Times and Post didn't even print the story.
No, they...
Let alone, huh?
Just buried it. Outrageous. The standard of the press right now is just...
I guess they're just out, really, frankly, to replay the campaign. I think they're getting a little desperate. I'm not sure. That's why they're trying to rehabilitate Dean now, you notice. You notice how they're trying to make him a hero and Scotty Rest and all that bunch?
Yeah, of course, the impossible position that they're in doing that is that here is the guy who clearly had the complicity in the whole thing.
Well, he had prior knowledge.
Sure.
He was there when he suborned perjury for Magruder. He knew that, never told me. He paid off the defendants. He knew that, never told me.
Yep.
He promised clemency to defendants. He knew that, never told me.
That's right.
Good God, I mean, how can I expect to do anything about this stuff?
I don't think, I really think, Mr. President, that as far as you are concerned, we are well over the worst.
Dean will come up with some memorandum that somebody wrote, some jackass, but you know what I mean. But that doesn't make any difference.
They're not going to lay it on you, you see. I don't think there's any way they can lay it on you. I can refuse.
The only thing that he can do, Chuck, is that he can lie about the personal conversations I had with him. Because I cannot deny them. See, I cannot be in the ring denying anything I had personally. Obviously, you and I know there were nothing. Fortunately, Moore was present at most of them, and a number. Haldeman and Ehrlichman were present at a number. I had a number alone, and all about, you know, preparing for press conferences and executive privilege, and what do we do about this?
Yeah, and the answer to this question and that, that's a very logical thing, really. That can be answered, Mr. President. I don't believe, I honestly feel, as a matter of fact, Howard Baker's assistant called me last night, and complimented me and said it was a great show, and he wished it, you know, wished more people would do it.
And why doesn't Howard do it? He stepped up to something, he could be a hero, but he's playing the Democratic line so much that he's just washing himself out of politics right
Well,
now.
I think what he's trying to do, I think Howard is trying to appear judicious, and at the right point, I have reason to think he might step out. I just
don't expect it.
It depends on how the public reacts. You see, I don't believe any of these birds are correctly reading the public. I just do not.
You don't?
No, sir. I absolutely do not. And the public is not just... They want to believe that the President of the United States had not a damn thing to do with this. They want to believe that this is a typical Washington political hassle. They don't want to see it on television every day. They're getting sick to death of it. And you look at the mail, and the public reaction to that is quite obvious. And they just don't see the grievous crimes that are being talked about. I mean, the opposition...
They're not crimes that affect them.
That's right. The opposition has overstated the case, is what they have done. And it's going to bounce back on them. It just has to. The only...
That's why they are playing Dean so heavily, Chuck.
Oh, sure it is. Because
they think Dean can stick the dagger into the president, huh?
That's the reason they're doing it.
So we, at the proper time... You see, they tell me now that the Irvin has gotten desperate and wants to have Dean on the 12th. He's trying to move it up.
Well, that would be...
Let him have it.
Let him have it, sure. Irvin should be getting desperate. Irvin's hearings are just preposterous. I mean...
Are they?
Oh, God. Our secretary arguing about whether she used a shredder on a certain day. The public doesn't give a goddamn about that. They just don't. And the women would much rather watch their soap operas. You've got the press who want to keep it alive because it's selling newspapers. You can't go out and buy it in this town. You know, it had its effect.
People
respect.
That's right. But people get damn tired of seeing the same story every time. And this press corps is such a fanatical bunch of people. You know, you send somebody out, and it's all they want to talk to. Well, the heck with them. It's just unbelievable.
Well, Pat O'Hara called me this morning. He's a pretty damn solid fella. And
McKay's, ma'am.
Yeah. And he said, God, he's been talking to people all over the country, and he said, thank God, and let's start fighting back. And he said, he wants to take ads in newspapers now, and it's not quite the time for that. But the point is that I think if we could just get a little bit of a spark, and I mean, one network half hour is not enough to light a spark, but a little bit of a spark.
It helps. It helps.
It just would encourage some other people to get up off their ass. I mean, I sat here last week realizing that my objective of trying to stay out of the newspapers is wrong. Damn it.
In it anyway. That's
in it anyway.
There's no reason. When you say you're going to stay out, you're in it, Chuck,
for sure.
And the same is true of Haldeman and Ehrlichman. Damn it, they're in it, and they ought to get in. They ought to get in on their forum rather than have Ehrlichman's deposition printed, where they only print one stinking innuendo and not perhaps 95%, which said the president was not involved.
That's correct. And that's of course what's wrong. That's what's wrong with being put on the defensive, and that's why we just can't let them do it, regardless of what the hell they do to us. We can't afford that. I mean, we've got to be on the offensive. And you know, in my case, I'm eager to get to the Irvin Committee. They can accuse me of some things in the campaign and let them do.
Oh, sure, fine. You can say yes, we did it.
Yeah,
but look what they did.
As a matter of fact, when they asked me, did I order someone to tear down the Viet Cong flag? I'm going to say you're damn right. As a matter of fact, I tore one down myself on inaugural day, and I'd do it again if I saw it.
Did you try to infiltrate the demonstrators? You bet your life you did, because they were threatening the life of the President of the United States.
No, listen, there are a few things I don't want to get into. They'll probably drag me into them. So anyway, that's a very small problem. But on those kind of questions, hell, I can't wait to get at them. And on the question of your knowledge, I can't wait to get at them. I think that in this case, Mr. President, I'm absolutely convinced the dates that I talked to you and what you said to me totally refute whatever John Dean can say, except perhaps for a period of 2 weeks, during which time you would be in a very understandable position of not knowing who the hell to believe. I mean, here's Dean, who was supposedly...
My counsel.
Your counsel, and supposedly...
Handled it.
Coming to you, telling you these bizarre tales, naturally you would be turning to people like me, and Ehrlichman, and saying,
right.
Now, my God, tell me what's going on here. And that's what you said to me. You weren't a man saying to me,
George, you didn't I'd look into this darn thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Let me know.
You said, give me the facts. And you said that to me twice, and you said...
That was on the 21st?
Well, you said it to me in late January. You said it to me in the middle of February. When, as I said last night, I only expressed doubts and concerns.
Oh, but didn't I also do it on the 21st?
21st, you said, absolutely. That's the time you said... No, you
that's the critical point.
Yep. You go out and find out everything you can, because I am not getting... information, and I'm concerned about this, and I want to get to the
bottom. I called you on the phone, didn't I?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Then you called me in Boston on the 12th and asked me to bring in specific recommendations and information. I did. Shapiro and I came in together. We saw Ehrlichman. Ehrlichman relayed it all to Haldeman and Dean. Dean went down the next day and sought immunity. Well, now, that totally discredits Dean, because it was the fact that
I was doing something.
Sure. At your insistence, I was bringing in information that he knew then that the game was over as far as he was concerned, and he immediately went to the prosecutors.
Another thing that probably did send him down there, the prosecutors had told him that Liddy had cracked, which was a lie. And that also was a thing that knocked Magruder over. But it's just as well. Damn it, they're both guilty. Too bad. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's one of those things.
Well, I think in the final analysis, Mr. President, this will redound ultimately to your benefit, because if they overplay it, you get a little bit of that underdog reaction. If things are going well in the country and this begins to simmer back into the back burner, where people get tired of it, and you can just step out and start doing some of the things that...
Sure. You can't quite do it yet.
Can't quite.
It's not the, I can sense these things. I mean, it's the climate. I'm going to go to Florida, for example, Friday and do a junior college commencement.
Good.
And things like that. And I'm going to go to Illinois and do the Everett Dirksen Library next week.
Right.
So we're doing a few little things. But there comes a time. And then, of course, I'm working on the economics and the rest.
Well, that's the whole... That, Mr. President, is the whole... key to this thing, because what you would do, you just cut the ground out from under them. The only reason that people will lose confidence in the president is if they feel that because of this controversy,
he's not acting.
Now, if it's not the controversy, don't give a goddamn about the controversy. It doesn't affect them.
But they wonder whether it affects the president.
Exactly. But if they get the idea that it's affecting you and making it impossible for you to function, then you've got a different issue. The issue then isn't Watergate or what cover up or any of the. Who struck John. The issue then is, my God, do we get somebody running the show for us? That's the thing you mustn't let.
The press is going to die, whatever we do. They're going to die when the Brezhnev visit comes off, because that'll drive them out. You know, they've got to cover that.
That's right.
The press, as you know, particularly the TV and the others, they have a vested interest in destroying us. And,
that's correct.
And I think they're disappointed they haven't done it up to this point. What do you think? What do you hear from them?
Yeah, no, that's exactly the attitude.
They thought they were going to knock us over, don't you?
That's right. They thought that this, by now, they thought they would have you toppled, and it just calls the hell out of them. And that's why, of course, I want to see you come on so strong, because that just proves to them that you ain't about to let them lick you. And,
sure.
And that, when they realize that, Mr. President, and they then know that, well, the worst of the crisis has passed, and then they've got to start backing away for their own self-protection, and they do it every time. And they'll, if they overreach, and I think they already have, the public will backlash on them, and I think that's what happened with it when the three nets were covering the daily hearings. They just got such a hell of a storm of protests from the public.
No.
They had to stop doing it. And
hated, which they hated to do in the front office, but they had to do it.
Oh, sure, they had to do it. I think the whole, as I analyze this, and it's awful hard to do it because it's complicated, but as I analyze it in the simplest political terms, there are two elements that are absolutely necessary. One is strong, visible, decisive action on your part on whatever areas. I don't care whether it's gasoline shortage or the economy. I do think the economy is absolutely fundamental. Inflation, read the numbers of people who would protest in the streets over meat prices. It's frightening. That really is affecting people. But strong, decisive action on your part in whatever areas you can move, on the one hand. And then a few people, with you, who will start to do the kind of thing that I tried to do with Smith. And it'll turn, because there's a hell of a lot of people that want to hear that.
They just some people that got to defend the prisoner. Get around the fact, if you will, to a few of these, your friends in the Hill and the rest, of what a hell of a reaction you got. And then maybe that'll stir them up, you see?
Yeah, well, we did get it. And I think that I talked to Mort Allen last night. He said he was getting a good reaction. I think what I will do is get Friedersdorf and some others up there. Max is all, he said, God, he was electrified.
Well, then he ought to tell them.
Oh, yeah. He
but the main point is not just the text.
No, no, the reaction.
But what I want to do is say you've been just storm with calls ever since.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true, and
well, of course it's true.
We can get that out and encourage a few of them, and then if we can just get a little bit of this building, you see, it's what the people want to hear, and it's what they want to believe.
And stick a Goldwater, he ought to be out in the stump now raising hell. Isn't.
Yeah, well, I think he's been gun shy. Of course, you know his relationship with Dean, and that's the problem with Barry.
Oh yeah, his son.
His son, and they've been very, very close. So that I think Barry's had a lot of mixed feelings in this thing. But if we can get a little bit of the drumbeat going, then they'll all get on board. Hell, they'll jump on board as soon as they find out that's the way the public wind is drifting. And clearly, thing has, whatever damage this thing has done, my God, it has done. And they
done a lot.
Yeah, it's done a lot, because it's mainly because it's drained you from diverted you badly, obviously. But I just don't think that the public wants to continue to be traumatized day after day by splashing headlines that they don't want to believe. That's
they don't want to see bad news every day.
That's right. Remember the reaction, if you ever judged public attitudes by the coverage of the Vietnam War, well, my God, we wouldn't have had a reporter left in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the great silent majority wanted to believe that what we were doing was right because we were doing it. And they want to believe in their president. And that's the emotionalism that I was getting last night, of people saying, thank God, you know.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah, we would. The fellow I hadn't seen in a year, got my number, I don't know how he got it, as a matter of fact, but he called and said, he was almost in tears, he said, I wanted to hear this. He said, thank God, he said, I wanted to hear this. And that's what
that's good.
That's what we'll find. Well, I'll stir some
fine.
Of the boys on the hill.
Stir them up.
And we'll
tell them, but the way to stir them up is to tell them you got a good reaction.
Yes,
they're all selfish. They want one.
That's
okay?
Right. I'll do it, and we'll keep hitting them.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President.